It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
It's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we talk with CEOs and entrepreneurs about their stories so we can better understand ours. If you had to pick an industry that Chicago was most known for, advertising would definitely be towards the top. Before the move to the coast, Chicago was the epicenter for the industry. It continues to be strong today with companies like Leo Burnett, FCB, but it's smaller companies, the boutiques, that are pushing Chicago into the next phase of advertising. Enter Ken Erke. Ken was the chief creative officer at Y&R, helped launch RGA, and worked for Kramer Krasselt. Then he decided to branch off and do his own thing. His company is called Major Behavior. It recognizes that advertising is less about the television spot or the full-page ad, but more about the six-second ad on YouTube or a quick slide on Snapchat or Instagram. The future of advertising right here in Chicago. Ken Erke, my guest in the Download in Chicago Business. Ken, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What was the impetus for you to branch out and do your own thing?
You know, it's funny. I talk a lot about practice, and I felt I had practiced enough at that level. You know, I had run Y&R Chicago from the creative side, and then I helped launch RGA. I'd done it at once again at Kramer Krasselt, and I thought, you know what? I think it's time. I think I've done it enough that I, you know, felt confident enough that I could go out on my own. I had seen a lot of different versions of models, and I felt from that I could kind of sift through and make my own.
Is that the goal, getting into advertising for young advertising executives? Is always the goal to, in that industry, say, hey, I want to get my own firm?
It wasn't my goal. Always. No, I don't think it is. You know, it really depends. It depends on your comfort level, right? I think that I did get used to being uncomfortable. You know, having grown up in Wisconsin, my first big leap was to New York. And that was, it taught me that that big change, there was a great outcome, right? Like, mm-hmm. From that outcome came a willingness to be more and more uncomfortable. And so it kind of pushed me to, you know, try to get to the top of the industry. And, but I can't say that it was always my dream to do my own thing.
Right.
And truthfully, the reason why is I had worked at a really small shop in New York. I was the 11th employee of...
of 11.
of a very small, very small firm that eventually grew to 65, but... Watching that owner have a very, very, he struggled, right? Life was tough. He was just always working.
I was going to say, there's two parts of advertising that I know, I think that the layman's know. One would be the struggle to get clients and the struggle to stay above water, because obviously to pay the bills, you need to have relationships with clients. And second is to know exactly where the industry trends are going. I mean, you need to be on top of that the digital eyeball and how you secure data is so much more important than, say, the 30-second ad that we used to, that we know advertising to be back in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
So it's tough to be able to balance both of those things, isn't it?
It's absolutely tough. And that goes back to a little bit of the being uncomfortable, right? Like, you have to be future-focused if you want to survive in advertising. It is somewhat of a younger person's game. And these younger people grew up naturally in the digital sphere, right? So it's great to have them around. But that balance of the experience of whether it was commercial storytelling or print storytelling, right. You know, it's still kind of threads through everything, even though it is now digital and landing in people's spaces when they find it more appropriate than the interruption of the TV spot. But it is absolutely important to have that past mixed with the future.
For you, how important is it to hire the right people? When you talk about young creatives that are coming up through advertising, you're running out. You're starting your own company. You know, this is your vision. But do you have to sort of let go a little bit of control and let a younger executive or creative come in who may have more of an indigenous or authentic experience with that platform?
Control is tougher when it's your own firm,
right.
For sure, right? Because you, at first, you're doing everything, right? And then somebody else comes in and they want to, you know, even sending an email, right? When you're like, don't send an email to the client. What if you said the wrong thing? What if this all comes off the rails because you know, it's so, control is absolutely eminent at the start. When you're at somebody else's firm, right? There's structures in place, and so some of that control can actually be detrimental if you're trying to control everything too tightly. So the flip side of that was when you start your own small place, yes, control is certainly an issue, something to be worked for with. But the other side of that, to your point, is hiring talent, right? With advertising, you have a bullpen if you're at a firm, right, of, let's just say, 25, 30 creatives. Most of them are assigned to something. A new piece of work comes in, and you kind of, at first, look around and say, who's available?
Right.
Well, that's good and bad, right? Because whoever's available may have a strength for something.
Or possibly a weakness.
Right? But, you know, some people are really good at humor, right? And the brand isn't necessarily a humorous brand. They will still try to force fit what they're strong at into that situation. Mm. Whereas in this case, right, so starting from scratch, and because I don't have any full-time employees, I do everything through contract, right? I'm able to resource off of all the people I know over the 20 years.
So it's all about relationships.
It's all about relationships. Yeah. And as you know, right, in this culture of kind of the hustle culture of doing your own thing, there's a lot of really talented people out there who are doing their own thing. And so when I have a situation where I need the right person, I can find the right person versus looking to my bullpen of 25 people have to be employed full-time, have to be billing so that we can make a profit for the mothership.
You know, for the advertising world, I think about how much changed over the last 10 years when now with all the data that's available through all the different tools that can tell you exactly where people are and what they're looking at and how they're looking. In some cases, you know, the devices are actually collecting that information without the customer's knowledge. But point being that, you know, there's so much data out there. Advertising has become so much more customizable in the way that the clients are savvy. They're coming in saying, I want this eyeball, I want this age, I want this number, this is what I'm hiring you for. As for, you know, probably when you started your career, it was more like, I want something fun and hopefully it gets everybody in. How do you make that transition as someone who has to deliver on that?
Well, I always really embraced it because I always felt that, you know, there was the wide net approach of advertising was not the best way to go, right? And so people were spending tons of money on a show like MASH back in the day where everybody was like, awesome, we have, you know, 60 million eyeballs and some of those eyeballs probably like Pepsi. But now it's just incredible because to your point earlier about like 6 second ads, right? So I did a project recently with YouTube in which they served up 30-second ads, 15-second ads, and 6-second ads, right? And then they allowed those people for a brand, right, to choose their own destiny in a sense, right? If I did engage with the brand and I did really have a interest in it, I could choose to watch longer format pieces.
Sure.
Absolutely perfect, right? Because today, at this time, maybe you don't want to know about something related to the rain.
Right,
you've had enough of it.
Had enough rain, right?
Yeah, right. You're looking for sun, whatever. You're looking for some alternative to this rain. So to that point, right, if we know that you're inside and it's raining and you've recently been searching for vacations, it's probably smart for me to deliver something to you related to the sun versus the rain.
Right.
So it's like all of that data can be super useful, and it is really it's surprisingly relevant, right? And the word surprising is interesting because oftentimes you think to yourself, oh, yeah, I could use that versus the old days where you're like, I can't use that. You know, a catalog would come to your...
Right.
Like how many times still you get a catalog, a small one, not as big as the old days, and you just take it out of your mailbox and you put it
right in the trash. Right.
Trash, right. So...
Ken Erkey's my guest. His company is called Major Behavior. We're going to talk more about it. It's a boutique advertising firm here in Chicago. And we're going to talk more about the future of advertising here on The Download of Chicago Business. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll continue the conversation with Ken. So stay with us.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business.
Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. It's the Download on Chicago Business. Ken Erke is here. His boutique is called Major Behavior. And we're talking about the future of advertising. You know, we right before the break, we were talking about data and being able to be customizable. How do you make a six-second ad? For you personally, who've worked in creative and you know how to make a 30-second ad, you know how to make maybe a print ad, another. But is there a parts of your brain, they're like, I can't deliver this message in 6 seconds. How do you adjust?
Well, the best ads have always been simple ads, right? Like, you know, have a Coke and a smile, right? Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to have a Coke, and what are you going to do after that? You're going to have a smile,
right?
It wasn't like it was loaded with this sugar content or, you know, made of this. It didn't need to be, right? And so if you can get a client to kind of come to terms with the simplicity of that, it's just as simple as an outdoor print ad, right? Like, we've all seen great work, and I've worked on great work back to Kramer Krasholt, you know, some great outdoor ads from Corona, right? They have something running right now, which is every time the clock strikes five, Corona gets its line,
right?
Simple message. Again, you know what to do at 5 o'clock, right? If you can distill something to that simple message, it really relates better to people in the first place. And so 6 seconds is a great meeting because it strips it down, right? And it can get you and the client to a very, very simple premise, whether that be a intellectual premise or a emotional premise.
It almost goes back to the beginning days of advertising in the way that it was all about the simple message. It was, we've kind of gunked it up since that point, but to go back to maybe a 6 second ad is to go back to the way it was intended to be.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, it's like, it really is a billboard. You're driving 60 miles an hour past a billboard.
Right.
And now it's just coming, you know, the internet is coming at you at warp speed.
For places like Snapchat, or Instagram, where now ads have become almost embedded, where you're not even sure what's real and what's not. Instagram is one of those places where every third post that you scroll down is an ad. And in some ways, they don't want you to know it's an ad, even though you savvy consumers can figure it out. Do you like that style? Do you like the way that you're almost, I don't want to use a negative word, but tricking the customer or tricking the consumer into viewing an ad or being a part of that in a relationship with that ad?
What I like about Instagram is that it does integrate a lifestyle, right? The product into a lifestyle. And I think that if that product and that lifestyle relate to you, great, right? I think it's a very easy on-off. And you can literally turn it off, right? You can turn that ad off on Instagram if it doesn't relate to you. So I really like that part of it. And I also think back to simplicity. It reduces you to these brands that they've just, some really get it. If you see the newer brands, I just bought a piece of luggage over the weekend. I'm guessing if I said a newer piece of luggage, you're going to, you know, it was Away, right? Away is doing an incredible job. They noticed that the market didn't have very colorful luggage. And they didn't, and they also noticed that they didn't like really pair that luggage with certain lifestyles. Their website is basically Instagram.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? It's just really simple. It's like, oh, that person kind of looks like me. That luggage appeals to me. Done.
And it's so interesting you say that, because this weekend I was at my mother-in-law's house, and I think it was a birthday, and there were people there, and that came up. And someone showed an ad to somebody else on the couch, and that's the bag I want to get. And so you're right. I mean, there is something to be said about when a company comes up with a good, authentic experience for their advertising, it goes viral on its own.
Absolutely. I mean, Warby Parker, another great example, right? It's like these brands, they've seemingly come out of nowhere. They disrupt the system, but I think also what's great, having worked with some legacy brands, they create everything for the present, right? And so their websites are so efficient. Their product design and the product focus is so efficient, right? I bought a shirt last week from a company that only sells one shirt. They just make a polo shirt.
One shirt. That's all you need.
It's crazy.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy. And they're going to do just fine. Back to this future and past. Yeah. You know, I mean, the larger infrastructure brands, you know, the struggle to stay relevant and kind of create a more modern system for the modern consumer is very challenging.
I also think about the way these ads are going to be served, because I think about we hear so much about data there could be a world, and we think about the future, where you're watching the same television. You and I are watching the same television show at the same time, and maybe it's on network television, and we go to the commercials. My commercials are different than the commercials that you have. That data has worked its way to customize it to me personally, and I'm not seeing a network buy, or I'm not seeing the same four commercials that you might be seeing wherever you're living. Do you see that as the future, that who I am is going to have a different set of advertising towards me than say Pete or you or anybody else?
Well, let me ask you, would you skip that set of commercials like you do now?
Probably, but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the idea, right?
You would most likely have an affinity for those commercials, and you would potentially watch more of them.
That's the goal,
I mean, nobody's watching commercials. Right? Unless you have to, if I'm watching a series right now on the BBC and I end up watching it not in real time, and so therefore I have to watch
a commercial. Right.
Brutal, right? That's the culture we're in. We are frustrated with that interruption, right? So if we can use data to bring to you in real time things that you're interested in, first of all, highly more efficient,
right?
Way more efficient buy. Back to the math, you know, like you're not mass buying anymore. It's incredible. Why not work on a system that delivers to you what you're interested in, and then pushes out beyond that slightly?
And your company, which Major Behavior, which really does get into this, is trying to change the way that we've known commercial interruption. You said it, the interruption. Right, this idea that this is stopping me from watching my show.
Right.
You know, here comes this commercial, this set of commercials, and move advertising to engagement, to a place where it's either authentic, it's part of the experience, and I know that I like this brand, and I'm in on it, and I know what's happening, and it's less of that interruption, it's less of something that I dread, and it's more something that I want.
Absolutely, and I think that.
Is that where advertising is going? And that's got to be the future?
I think it's got to be the future. It's got to be the future. I mean, more and more people are shopping on mobile, right? And mobile is the forefront of bringing you, knowing what you're doing, right, through your behaviors, whether that's out and about, right, whether that's a GPS telling it where you've been, or, you know, like, not like, moving through. So that mobile device is delivering to you the most useful advertising, mm-hmm. I would say, mm-hmm. right? So what's lagging on that? Television is certainly lagging on that. There are models that I'm sure that we can create. What about the shoppable show, right? What about a show that you like? Isn't that advertising to you? Why don't we use those methods to make systems more shoppable?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't there a counterpart piece to your favorite show or your favorite sport that allows you to shop that guy's clothes?
I like what he's wearing.
That woman, I like, that's doing the advertising. There's many ways to get around the idea of the commercial, right? And so
that almost has to be the future, right?
Yeah. I mean,
because consumers are getting to the point where you said it, unless you're forced to sit there because, you know, Hulu or BBC or watching it and
right.
you
right.
have to sit there.
And is frustration the state of mind that you want to be in when you're being presented with a product, right? Like, you know, you're on YouTube and you want to see something and you are forced to see something before that, right?
Right.
I mean, one of the great ironies is in advertising, sometimes you go search for an old ad and you're forced to watch an ad before you watch the ad, right? You're just like, I'm so frustrated right now. Oh, well, you know what? I'm part of the problem.
Right.
I better get over it. But with that said, the less friction, that's where we're moving. The less friction that we can get to, the better. The more you'll naturally fall in love with the product.
My final question for you tonight, just, you know, it's a download in Chicago business. And I mentioned in the intro that Chicago has such a strong legacy with advertising. And I don't know if a lot of people know that, that this was really the epicenter before it kind of spread out to the coast. You starting in New York, do you feel that affinity? What does it mean to be in Chicago and a part of this industry?
I love Chicago, and I love the industry in Chicago, A, because it's massive, right? It has a massive reach, but it's not a massive group of people. You know, there's 10, 15 agencies that everybody knows about, great legacy from all of them. But, you know, we are all in it together, and we are all struggling through it, all pushing it forward. So that's what I love about Chicago. And to your point, I mean, it has some of the greatest legacies of, you know, I mean, all of these serials that we grew up on. No, but, you know, like, can you imagine, like, somebody actually sat down and drew Tony the Tiger, thought that up, Toucan Sam, right? Rice Krispies, all of those incredible things came out of a building
right
just
here,
over
yeah.
here.
Right. It's crazy.
Absolutely incredible.
Ken Erkey, his company's called Major Behavior, a longtime creative executive in the advertising industry, my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Thanks for taking some time out and coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.